You have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We've seen thus far that God has used Samuel to appoint, and then the people wanted a king, so they cried out for a king. They chose a king. That king happened to be somebody that they chose. God allowed them to choose him, and we're at the point now where he didn't obey God. God told him exactly through Samuel what he was supposed to do when he went after the Amalekites. He didn't obey. Because of that disobedience, God took and rent the kingdom from him. He anointed somebody new, and that was David. Why did he anoint David? I believe truly in my heart it's because David was a young person who was serving the Lord. He was already practicing what God was wanting him to do. And that's what God is looking for, somebody who will follow him. And when we learn how to do that, he will lift us up, the Bible teaches us. And so here we have David. He is been anointed. He's still a young man. He's still living at home. Saul doesn't know it yet. In fact, the last chapter, chapter 16, we found out that Saul, the Spirit of God left him, and an evil spirit was sent to him by God, and David was called upon to minister to him through music. Again, the importance of music. Godly music can change the things in your life. And so he ministered to him, and then we come to chapter 17. Most of us know this story. Most of us have read this many times. Probably if you grew up in church, you heard this thousands of times by now, because this is one of those stories that are told often, especially in Sunday school class. I think you probably hit it every year or every 2 years, and you hear about David and Goliath. And this is an amazing story when you think about it. Think about how these things have taken place. And really, we can relate to this and understand this, because as we go through this, one of the things we need to look at is, how does it apply to us? How can God use 1 Samuel chapter 17, giving us what's going on in David's life, in Israel's life, and of course the Philistines, who are their adversary? How can that apply to us in our lives? Whenever we come to the Bible, that's what we're looking for. What does this do for us? How can this help us? These things in the Bible are not there just for us to read and say, oh, that's a good story. They have application. And that's what God's trying to teach us, application. Why? Because he wants us to walk close to him and know his will in our lives. And we can do that. Spurgeon said, a man who has his Bible at his fingers' ends and in his heart's core is a champion in any conflict. You cannot compete with him. You may have an armory of weapons, but his scriptural knowledge will overcome you. And you know, this is true, that as we learn and grow in the Bible, we can have the solace, the confidence, the strength to know that this is true, and we can actually follow it. We can actually practice it and see the results. When we don't practice it, we don't see the results, and that's what happens in many of our lives, and we wonder why. But anyway, let's go ahead and begin. We're going to read the first 11 verses and start sharing in this chapter. It says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Soko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Soko and Azekah in Ephraim's Demon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass in his head, upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your words this morning. as again we look at this familiar passage, and I pray that you would again speak to our hearts. Help us to see what this really means to us. How does this apply to us? And Father, that you might use it, that you'd guide and direct in our lives, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is just after Jonathan in chapter 14 went up with his armor bearer, and he began to fight with the Philistines, we remember. He killed 20 of them, and then the watchman saw what was going over there. He told Saul, and Saul tried to figure out who it was. He found out it was his son, Jonathan, and an armor bearer, and they went over and they began to start or be in the battle as well. But prior to that, there was an earthquake which confused the Philistines, which they were fighting each other. And that day, they went out, Saul and Israel went out, chased the Philistines. They could have won the battle right then and there and been done with it. But Saul, he made a vow, which was a foolish vow at the time, that nobody should eat anything until the evening. And the men were faint, and because of that, and through all the situation that went with him and David, they let the Philistines go. Well, now they're facing the Philistines again. And here we see they're facing the Philistines, but there's one man. Actually, if you read this closely, we always tell the story. Do you ever see the pictures, though? They're always one giant, right? But there's a giant and a guy carrying the shield as well. We don't think about that much, but he's there to protect Goliath. I scratch my head and go, man, this guy is 9 foot tall, or 9 foot, 9 inches, or whatever it is, and he needs somebody to help him, protect him, and carry his shield? I scratched my head when I read through this and thought about this a little bit. Why is this happening? Why does he need somebody to help him? He's such a big guy. Well, anyway, we're going to look at the champion. This is the first 11 verses. So here we see that Goliath is being presented. Everybody's in array for this battle. They're on two different mountaintops. There's a valley in between. And this guy comes out. His name is Goliath. Again, he's 9 foot, 9 inches tall. His coat of mail, it weighs like 125 pounds. He's got brass on his legs. He's got somebody carrying a shield for him. And he's got a spear where the head itself weighs 15 pounds. Whenever I share this with young people, I always like to bring weights out. You want to get that 15-pound weight and say, hey, come over here. I want you to feel how heavy just that tip or the head of that spear is. And they try to pick up that 15-pound. It's a lot. And so this guy's a pretty big guy. I mean, his muscles are probably way out here like this, you know. And so he's coming up against Israel, and he's just making a claim. He's coming up and he's telling them that there's a deal here. And the deal obviously is send a man out to fight me. If he wins, then the Philistines will be your servants. If I win, then the Israelites will be the Philistine servants. That's as simple as it gets. We're just going to fight one guy on one guy, although I do have a armor bearer with me, or a shield bearer. So just so you know that, keep that in the back of your mind. He's there to help out, right? And so we see Israel's response to this whole situation. Verse 11, it says, when Saul, remember who Saul is. Saul is the guy they looked at, and he was very tall, right? And remember, he was heads and shoulders above everybody else. His countenance was that of someone who would be a leader. And you looked at him, when Israel saw him, thought, that guy is somebody to follow. Well, here he is. He's shaking in his sandals, or his boots, or whatever he's wearing. He's scared to death. It says Saul and Israel were dismayed and afraid. Saul should have been the one that's standing up to this giant. For the way we understand it, he was probably head and shoulders above everybody else. But see, just because you're tall, necessarily, or your outward appearance, does not make you a leader. He was not a leader. He was cowering down. He was hiding. He didn't know what to do. There was nothing for him that he could think to do. Why? Why was it in this situation? Because it's the same situation when the giant in our life comes up and we are not walking with God. We don't know what to do. We become dismayed and afraid. Who's going to help me? What's going to conquer this giant? How can I get through this? Well, we become just like Saul. We're hunkered down. We're not ready to face the battle. But then let's look on. We saw the champion here, who's Goliath. But next I want to see the child. The child's David. And again, remember, he's a young person. And I want you to see, first off, his zeal. I want you to see how he can trust and just, he knows with confidence that what he's about to face or what he's getting ready to do, that he can do it in the Lord. And that is what we need, is we need a confidence that we know whatever we do, whatever giant comes into our life, the Lord is with us. Okay, but look at here, verse 12. It says, now David was the son of an Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the men went among men of an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 oldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of the 3 of his sons that went to the battle were Eli, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest of the 3 eldest followed Saul. So David's the youngest, and the 3 eldest follow Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So get the picture. David is there at home. He's doing his job. His father has him taking care of the sheep. It says, verse 16, and the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So for 40 days, in the morning and the evening, this giant came out and he challenged Israel, and nobody stepped up. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses to the unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. So he was to go, he was to take this food to them, these victuals, and he was also to find out if they needed anything. Is there anything you need? We can bring it to you, okay? So he's doing what his father told him to do. He's going to be a help. He's just going to help supply and take care of his family, and then, of course, he's going to give the cheeses to the captains. It says, verse 19, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So there's some skirmishes going around, but nobody's stepping up the plate to see this guy whose name is Goliath, their champion. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the army in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. So this is the first time David heard about this. Now, we're going to see he's going to get rebuked in a few moments, but you can imagine this young boy coming to this situation where these armies are in array against each other, their skirmishes going on, and he's just doing what his father told him to do, to take this provisions to his brother and to the captains there, and he comes and gets out of the carriage, he runs over, and he's trying to find his brother, and all of a sudden this giant comes out. And he sees this, and the giant does the very same thing. He challenged Israel again, and he told them the same thing. If one of you will come and fight me and conquer me, then the Philistines will be your servants. And if I conquer that person, then you'll be the Philistine's servants. So David heard this situation. And all the men of Israel, when they saw it, in verse 24, they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. So he comes and he sees the situation, he sees the giant, and he sees what happens to Israel. They scatter like, I want to say rats, but more importantly, roaches. Well, why did I got a special affinity to roaches. I remember when I was working I forgot what it was called, but anyway, I was taking care of all the fire watches, I guess it's fire watch captain or something. They come knock on my door at 2 in the morning and say, hey, we need a fire watch. So I had to go find somebody that's sleeping up in the berth when we were in the shipyard, wake them up, say, come on, you got to stand fire watch or whatever. So I had a list of people who, but every time I turned the light on, I'm sleeping on the floor in this room. Every time I turned the light on, all of a sudden I hear this little scratching kind of noise. What's going on? The roaches are disappearing like that. And then I have to go back and try to turn that light off and remember all those roaches are in there. But anyway, that's what's going on here. These guys, when Goliath came, when David was there, they scattered. They took off. It's like the light was come on and they took off because they didn't want to see it. They were afraid. Verse 25 says, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to fight Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. So somebody was sharing with them that, hey, if somebody will go do this, the king will reward you with all these things. Is there anybody that would go do this? If anybody would just do this, the king's going to make him wealthy. They're going to make him rich. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of Israel? The living God. That's right. You see his perspective? Everybody, you saw in the first part there, it talked about him coming to find the army of Israel. Okay? David, he sees it not as defying the army of Israel. He sees it like it is. They're defying God. Why? Because the Israelites were God's people. And that's the thing to keep in mind, is that when someone is really attacking us, if we're walking with the Lord, they're really attacking God. Why? Because you're a child of God. And if you're living and you're sacrificing for righteousness' sake, then they really are having a battle with God, not with you. Sometimes we feel the brunt of that because we are the instruments of God, but it's really God who they're arguing with. And so here he sees the situation, and he really expounds it clearly to everybody. He says, hey, he is defying the living God. And verse 27 says, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him, the things they told him, that he Saul would make him rich, give him his daughter. And it says, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, so here, David comes to the situation. He realizes that something's going on here, and he sees these people scattered. In his mind, he's thinking, why isn't somebody stepping up? They're defying the army of the living God. And when he speaks about these things, his brother, thinking, of course, and we can realize that many of you have been in families with at least a brother or sister, maybe an older brother or sister, and you know how they treat you sometimes. You know, like you're the little kid, you're the punk, you don't know anything. Now, this is the oldest. Eliab is the oldest, and David is the eighth of the sons. And there were some girls thrown in there as well. But nonetheless, so he's probably been harping on David for years, giving him a hard time for a long time. And so here he says to him in this same verse of verse 28, says, why camest thou down hither? Why'd you come here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Notice he emphasized, it's not emphasized here, but you can kind of get his tone that those few sheep, you know, who'd you leave those with? Like, that's nothing. You're nobody. You're the littlest of the little, you know. You're a no one, is what he was saying to him. And then he says, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Now, he has no idea. But what David is doing, he is really in the Lord's will in this whole situation. Why is David in the Lord's will here? That's right. He obeyed his father. And, of course, Eliab, who is shaking in his boots, he's the one with the pride. He's the one who's afraid of the giant. He's the one who looks at David and says, what are you saying this for, you know? You're just a little kid. You're a punk kid that takes care of a few sheep. You know, what are you down here for? And he gave him a hard time without giving him a chance to respond first. And he basically told him, says, I know why you came down here. You want to see the battle. Verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? When he said that, you know what he told us? He told us right there that Eliab was on his back all the time. What have I now done? Have you ever done that, said that to somebody that's always on your back? What have I done now? What have I done wrong? Or whatever. That's what David is saying. What have I done now? And then look at the next words that he says. Again, we see the vision this young man has. He says, is there not a cause? This morning, the question we need to ask ourselves, is there not a cause? Has God saved us for something? Is there a purpose in our life? What is that purpose? Are we seeking to find out what that purpose is? Well, I tell you, you can know that purpose every single day of your life if you'll just submit to God in every area of your life. Now, I understand it's a growing process, definitely a growing process, but what you know, do, and God will grow you and step you through it. That's the way it works. We just have to take the one step that God shows to us today or tomorrow, the next day, as we're in the Word of God studying the Bible. Just take the step He shows you. You don't have to worry about the next five or even the second step. You don't have to think about that. Just take the one He showed you, and if you'll step there, you know what? He'll show you another one. And then He'll show you another one. Because I'm afraid if He showed us all the steps, we'd probably all just turn around and run away. And say, we can't do this. If David knew as a young person, younger than he is, when he was out there in the field before he handled the bear and the lion, he probably would have saw that giant, and he probably would have been shaking in his sandals too. But he learned to take the steps that God was leading him to do. They were all little steps at first. That's what God does. He doesn't make us take big steps. Some of us only step 6 inches. Some of us can step 3 feet or whatever it is. And so God is going to help us to take bigger steps as we grow in faith and trust Him. That's what David is demonstrating here. He is demonstrating the fact that he has followed God, even in taking care of the sheep. And he goes on to explain, as we'll get through it in just a few minutes, that he conquered a lion, he conquered a bear. Those were pretty big animals. Today, if I was faced with a lion or a bear, I'd say, Mike, get in front of me. He could probably outrun me too. So you go fight the thing. Let me get out of here. Because I don't think I could stand up to that challenge. I'm not prepared for that. David was. God prepared David for the giant. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to prepare us for the giants that come into our life. The financial setbacks. The heartbreaks. The loss of loved ones. The things that happen in our lives that we don't expect. He wants us to be prepared for those things. Now, we can't be fully prepared if we've never had it happen, right? Yes. But that's also why God allows those who have been through those situations, you can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, to be able to help others through those trials and those tribulations. Because they've walked through those. They went through the fire. They went through the water. They survived those things, and now they have, or they struggle through them, whichever way they came out, as they are looking to God, they can go back and relate that and help us who are going through those. But we need to be prepared because the giants are going to come. So he says, is there not a cause? And verse 30 says, and he turned from him toward another. In other words, he said, okay, you're not listening to me. Let me talk to somebody else. And spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. So they just basically said the same thing. And then verse 31 says, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. So Saul got word that this little kid was out there. He saw this situation, and he said, what's going on here? I mean, why are you allowing this guy to defy the armies of the living God? Is there not a cause? Can't we do something about this? And of course, Saul meets him, and he talks to him. And I don't have time probably to go through and read all this, but we'll try. Let's go to verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. He said, don't anybody be afraid of that guy. He said, look, I'll go fight him. And of course, he had that confidence. Why does he have that confidence? Because he knows the Lord is with him. He knows that the step the Lord is guiding him, he will take care of him. No matter what happens, what if David happened to die that day? The Lord was with him. He knew that. What happens if we die today? The Lord is with me. I know that. Will I survive? A lot better than I am now. I promise you. The fact is, there's nothing that can really, really hurt us if we're walking with the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about you won't feel pain and suffering. You will. But the fact is, the very best thing that could happen to us is to meet our Lord. That's what we long for. That's what we desire. But we're going to do it in His timing because we're waiting on Him and trusting Him. So here we see that there was opposition. His brother gave him that opposition within. He said, you're nobody. Go away. And David said, look, you know, we need to take this guy. Saul heard about it. He sent for him. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He a man of war from his youth. Now, again, look at this. This is the impossible, is it not? You take a little boy who's, and we're saying little, I don't know how old he was, 16, 17, 18, I don't know. But here you take this person who's been out in the field dealing with sheep, and now he's going to face a man who all his life has been trained for war. He looks like a soldier. He is a soldier. And he's not a normal soldier because he's a giant. And so here Saul sees this, and how is he looking at this situation? He's looking at from his point of view, a man that is not walking with God. When we look at it from our point of view, then we are going to be afraid. We are going to be, like he said, dismayed. We're not going to be able to do anything. Our hands will be tied, and we'll just be in the position that we're just going to have to give up. We're going to have to surrender. But David's not looking that way. He's looking through the eyes of the Lord. And he sees the giant. And the giant, yeah, everybody else sees this big guy out there. David says he sees somebody who's defying the Lord. Who is he anyway? He's nobody. Verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and his uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me. There's his testimony. He said, it's the Lord. The Lord's my companion. The Lord is the one who is going to conquer this giant. The Lord is the one who's going to take care of me. I'm just a tool. I'm just a tool to be used by God. And I'm looking as God sees this man, and I realize that God can take this man down, because God can do anything. Can he not? Can God do anything? Absolutely. So that's what we have to instill in our lives, in our heart, is that the Lord, he is the one who's in charge. He is the one who's going to take care of us. He's the one, he tells us, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He wants us to walk with him closely, to seek his face, to live the life that he's called us to live by faith, taking the steps of faith and trusting him in every situation. Now again, I understand there's growing through this. It takes lots of time. I'm still learning so much as I read my Bible. I'm surprised. I scratch my head sometimes and go, man, I'm dumb as dirt. Because I see this and it's something really small. And I was telling somebody the other day about it. And it's like, man, it sounds silly. I mean, talking about it. But to me, it was like, I never saw it from that perspective. And it's like, wow, God wants to do something still. He's still real. He's still alive. And he wants me to know that. And he shares with me and he shares with all of us the plan and the path that he has for us. So here David is trusting the Lord. He said, it's the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. So here Saul, again, looking at things from his perspective, he says, hey, take my armor. Now remember, Saul is head and shoulders above everybody. I can't even imagine David trying to put it on. He put on his whatever that shield is on his chest or whatever. I imagine it dropped down here below his knees or something. And he had this sword and he had all this stuff, this equipment. And he put it on and he goes, man, I can't use this stuff. I don't know anything about it, first off. And it just doesn't fit. I can't do this. And he took it off and he told Saul, he says, I can't fight with this. So what did he do? He took the tools that God had allowed him to use when he was out in the field. The things that he had been prepared to use, that's what he took with him. That's what we need to do too. If we want to know how to have defense of the things of the Bible, we need the Word of God. We need to learn the Word of God to be able to share it with others to understand what it is we're trying to convey, what God is trying to convey in other people's lives, not just ours. We need to be prepared with those tools. Otherwise, you know, it's like me. Someone asked me a question. Well, let me go look it up, because a lot of times I have to go look it up or go study it out or something. Part of that's my fault. Let's say all of it's my fault, because I haven't studied out already. You see what I'm saying? We need to be studied up on the things we say we believe so we can share those things with others. And that's what David was doing. He was prepared. He was prepared to use a sling, and he was prepared to use some stones, and he had a staff with him. So he runs up to the giant, and he faces the giant. There he is. I think his armor bearer was with him, if I remember right, or shield bearer. Let's see if it says that. Thank you. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. So here we got the giant, we got the shield. And you never see this in the pictures, do you? All you see is giant and David. But he's there helping out the giant. Well, David didn't even see this guy, or at least didn't acknowledge him. Let's put it that way. And he went up there. He had his five smooth stones. He wasn't even concerned about this shield bearer. He took his sling. He slung his sling, and boom, he hit the giant right in the head. And whether he was dead or not, he fell to the ground. What did David do? He ran up there, grabbed that giant sword, and I'm sure it weighed a lot, and he took it, and he cut the head of the giant off. So there was no confusion or no afterthought of whether he was dead or not. He was dead because he was beheaded. And what happened? What happened? Because David walked with God. The Lord delivered him. He not only delivered David, he delivered Israel that day. All of a sudden, everybody in the camp, they had the courage to go fight the Philistines because the Philistines were running the other way. And this is what happens in our lives when we walk with the Lord, is that we can conquer the giants that we face, and we can change the directions of our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. There are times of discouragement. There are times of despair. Have you been through them? I have. And you know what? Hearing somebody's testimony or seeing somebody who's willing to stand for the things of God makes a difference in my life. It says there are people who really do believe in the Lord. There are really people who are willing to go and do whatever the Lord tells them, no matter the situation. What does that do? That encourages me. That strengthens me when I'm discouraged. That's what happened here. All of Israel was lifted up. All of Israel was encouraged. All of Israel all of a sudden were brave. Why? Because David was willing to follow the Lord. One man. That's all it took. Today, that's all it would take here. It's one person who's willing to say, Lord, what will you have me to do? And then go do it. It'll make a difference in every one of our lives when we see God working in somebody else's life. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for how you use a young man named David. And Father, it does stir my heart to see that all it takes is putting our faith and trust in you and really just walking those steps you call us to walk. I know sometimes we look around and we get concerned or maybe a little afraid, but all we need to do is keep our eyes on you, because you will deliver us out of any situation. You promise to do so. We thank you now for the Word of God. Pray you guide and direct today. In Jesus' name.